Some of us have a storybook picture of life in the suburbs, including things like emerald lawns and a certain degree of affluence. But the reality is that 88% of the region's poor live in Atlanta's suburbs, and WABE's Kate Sweeney explains.
Carol Williams wasn't at all sure at first that she wanted to be part of this story.
I didn't recognize that I was living in poverty until you called and said, oh, we're doing a story on it. And I'm like, oh, you are? So what do you call me for?
Poverty isn't a word Carol identifies with.
You know, as you see, we have a nice home without a lot of furnishings and with a lot of comforts that we'd like to have.
Indeed, the walls are bare, and there's little furniture in this house in an Austell subdivision where she's lived for the past 13 months.
But we don't feel impoverished.
Which is why it demoralized her when she had to make the 12-mile drive to Marietta recently to apply for the first time for food stamps.
Because it's emotional. It's more than just paperwork. It's the dramatization of, this is where you're at.
Carol used to help other people apply for food stamps. It was part of her job as a New York social worker. She lost that job when her only daughter died, and she fell into a depression. That's what brought her here, to live with her niece.
I was making $50,000, $60,000 a year and going to work every day. I know who I am, and I know where I'm supposed to be. I'm still living in adversity.
What we're seeing is that a lot of regular families are living in this kind of hidden poverty.
This is Katrina DeBerry with the Atlanta Regional Commission.
You know, the neighbor in your subdivision who, you know, for all intents and purposes has the same lifestyle that you feel that you have, but who may be struggling to feed their family, who are having a really difficult time making ends meet.
Between 2000 and 2013, poverty in Atlanta's suburbs had the highest rate of change of any metro region of its size. How did this happen?
I think the key is that poverty is moving to the suburbs, primarily because that's where affordable housing is.
Kim Anderson leads Families First, a nonprofit that serves low-income Atlantans. Since the 96 Olympics, Atlanta has made a concerted effort to demolish its public housing projects. These days, most apartments built in town are high-rent luxury units, tough for middle or low-income people to afford. But if there's cheaper housing outside the perimeter, that doesn't mean the jobs are anyplace near it.
A year or so ago, the cheapest rents were out in Lawrenceville area. The largest number of entry-level jobs were in Kennesaw or the airport or downtown. So if you don't own a vehicle, is literally impossible.
This dependence on cars in the suburbs drains the budgets of poor families, making it even harder to get out of poverty, says the ARC's Katrina DeBerry.
You have to figure my housing costs and my transportation costs take up the majority of my income. So what do I have left to feed my family? If you're spending 50% or more on transportation and housing, you don't have a lot left for anything.
Fortunately, Carol Williams has a vehicle, but it's one she shares with her niece, who has a job and two kids. Planning her days was a lot easier back in New York, where she'd just walk or hop a train. Which brings us to something that happened last year. At a time when money was running especially tight, Carol visited Douglasville to apply to a program that helps low-income households with utility bills.
And I'm taking my ID and my employment situation and my Georgia Power bill. And when we got there, they were filling it all out, and they come to the point and says, wait a minute, you live in Cobb County. We can't do this.
Carol's family actually lives on the border of Cobb and Douglas counties.
What happened was we had to go to Marietta and do it over again.
But not until the next appointment was open 1 month later, which meant Carol, her niece, and her niece's two children spent the next couple of weeks in their suburban house without power. Despite everything, Carol remains optimistic. She's taking classes now to change fields and become a dialysis technician.
We're still striving, making that mark, sometime missing it. This is just not our season right now, but by the end of the story, it might be.
That will depend largely upon her ability to access the resources she and her family need to leave this season behind. Kate Sweeney, WABE News.